Want to just talk to you a little bit today as these students and as our church is beginning a new journey. And whenever that happens, there's some preparation. And so I remember when Gene and I were going to be parents, the first time we were going to be parents, and we thought, okay, we have never done this before, so we got to prepare. So, I mean, we listened to more parenting tapes than and they were cassette tapes. You know, for those of you students who don't know, they were these little square things that, and when they messed up, you had to stick your finger in and turn it to get them back in anyway. So, but we listened to cassette tapes, we listened to teachings, we listened to, we went and talked to friends who had kids, and we thought, okay, we need to get some advice from them. We talked to our own parents, we asked advice from them. We got to do as much as we could. We even bought a dog to practice on, you know. And we figured if the dog lives, maybe we should try kids someday. So anyway, so we did all this preparation. So you know, you get to the hospital and you have your first baby and they send you home. And you look at each other and go, okay, now what do we do? And it wasn't long, like maybe the second day, that you're going through all your notes going, this was not in anything I learned. This was not, I can't find this. And that's kind of how it is, isn't it, in life? I can say the same thing about student ministry. I can say the same thing about our marriage. I can say the same thing about anything. Because when you enter a new journey, yeah, there's preparation. There's things you can do. But you know what? Part of it's just being in the journey. Part of it's that whole new front too, those new experiences. And as students are graduating from high school, it's becoming a new season in their life. And it's a new frontier. And whenever you have this new frontier, there's this idea that there's things that you're not going to be able to fully prepare for. There's things that you've never done before. There's both this idea that it's kind of daunting, and it's still exciting. There's this adventure. And so it comes with that, a little bit of both. And it's easily become more fearful than faithful in those moments. And I want to compare it to the book of Numbers. So we titled today's message, When Numbers Don't Add Up. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13, God has promised a land for his people. And it's the land of Canaan. And he's just getting ready to send people into the land to check it out, to see what it looks like. And so we get to chapter 13, and it says here in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving, so the Lord's given it to them, to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out. And so what he did is he took one person from each tribe and he sent them into this land. Okay? He says, go up there, verse 17, through the Negev and onto the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit of the land. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob. And it says that they said in verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So they sent these 12 out to the land to check it out. The land that what did it say? God gave them. So God's giving them this land. Okay, it's his land, he's given it to him. And he sent the 12 out. 12 people saw the same people, right? Saw all the same people, saw all the same fruit, experienced all the same experiences for 40 days. This was not a short encounter. It'd be like sending some people off now, and they wouldn't come back till, you know, towards the end of June. 40 days experience. 12 people, same experiences, they all went through the same things. Then they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. When we went into the land to which you sent us, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So they're saying it does flow. It's a beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey. Here's some stuff we brought back, some fruit from it. Evidence. And then there was a big but. We did a study a year ago, big buts in the Bible, because there's a lot of them. Okay? This is a big but. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. They're saying, yeah, it's nice, but we're afraid. We're afraid to go in there. Even though I know you gave it to us, God, we're afraid. Then Caleb, it says, silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, the land we explored devours the living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, which are descendants of Anak and from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we looked the same, and we looked the same to them. They were afraid. Remember, boy, you guys just went, a bunch of you just went through the walkthrough, right? 10 said no. 2 said yes, right? Isn't that what he did? Okay. So, all right, it's a democracy. The 10 win. We're going to shut this down. We're not going in. Is that what happened? Is that what they said? That's what they were trying to say, right? No, it's not a democracy with God, by the way. It's a theocracy, okay? And God said, this land is yours. You just need to do what I ask you to do. So Joshua and Caleb, and by the way, whenever we disobey, there's discipline. As parents, we know that with our kids. When you do things wrong, you pay the consequences. Well, here's 40 years in wandering in the desert for disobeying. So I don't know what your punishment's ever been, students. But if it's less than 40 years, you're in good shape, you know? All right? This was a punishment for not obeying God, for not doing what he asked them to do. This land is yours. Go in and take it. And so the choice was, do we engage here or do we retreat? Do we operate? It's a new frontier, faith or fear, right? Do we go into this new frontier with faith? Like Caleb and Joshua? Or do we go into this new frontier with fear? Like the majority? Does the majority rule? So we come to this point, you know, this is a transition part here, okay? Your students, let me speak to the students first. You're going into a new frontier. And there's going to be things you prepared for. Just like Gene and I prepared for kids. But there's going to be things that you can't prepare for. Just can't be done. And how are you going to respond? Are you by faith and trusting God going to respond with faith? Are you going to engage? Or are you going to cower back in fear and not move forward? That's what we face. There'll be plenty of pessimists along the way. They pull out their calculator and go, yeah, this calculator on my phone. Pull out their calculator and go, I did the numbers, it ain't going to work. Okay? And as much as we love those people, we also, where would we be if Wilbur and Orville Wright said that too? Oh, well, they said the calculator says it ain't going to work, you know? And where would we be in our society if people didn't try things that others told them didn't work? So there'll always be those pessimists. Ooh, I don't know. There'll always be those who want to stay where it's safe rather than venture out. Some of the best practices that you've done, some of the learning you've had may not apply to where you're going. And you may have to toss it. You know, you ever had done that? You studied and you prepared for something, you got there and it's totally different. If you've ever done missions work, by the way, that's what it's like. Okay? You prepare, you get ready to go on this mission trip, you get there, and the schedule all got changed. Okay? And it's not like you were told, and that's what you, it's like, okay, this is what missions work is kind of like, you know? Okay, only in America do we let this little thing run our lives. You know? You get over to Africa, throw that watch away. You know? I remember going to we were an hour and a half late for a worship service that we were supposed to lead. And I'm freaking out because I'm an American. Hour and a half late, you know, we finally get there, and there was like 9 of us in this Subaru, you know, crammed in to get there. And we got there, and they were just praising the Lord without us. Really, come on, can you do that? No. And they were just having a blast. So we got there, and we did our service. You know, it's, you know, you're Americanized, you know, 30-minute message, a few minute songs, we did all that. Well, then we just kept going. And for the next 3.5 hours, so you guys sit back. You know? I'm just saying, we have all those things. You can't always prepare. But you're heading to this new frontier. And what is it? What is it from? I want to share a story with you. A good friend of mine, Greg Steer, wrote, they just recently stepped out into a new frontier in his ministry. And he likened it to this illustration that I want to read you. Captain Hernan Cortez landed in Veracruz in the year 1519 to begin his conquest of the Aztec Empire. Upon arriving, he gave the order to his men to burn the entire fleet of ships that they arrived in. The men watched in disbelief and fearful awe as the flames of these ships burned into the night sky. There was no chance of retreat. They would either win or fail, but they would not retreat. 2 years later, they succeeded in their quest. That's my testimony. We have to burn the ships. That's my testimony. When I gave my life to Jesus, it was a total different direction. Forgetting what was behind, I'm moving forward. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's my testimony. I think my family thought I'd get over it. But you can't get over something like that. When Jesus comes into a person's life, he transforms. It may look different in everybody's life, but he does transform. And there's no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. And it was time for me to burn the ships. It was great to grow up on a farm. It was great to be taught all those moral things that I was taught, and I had great parents who taught me those things. But that was behind me now. My life was now in Christ. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And it was time to burn the ships. Students, for you, it's time to burn the ships. You're heading to a new frontier. And yes, those very ships, they're your parents, your family, the student ministry, all those things that got you where you are great things. You know, the people that, when they burnt those ships, when Cortez ordered those ships burnt, he wasn't saying, I don't appreciate those ships. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is, we're heading in a different direction. I want you to know there's no turning back. And those very things that got them there, we're not going to trust anymore. And so, as you head off into this new frontier, you'll be facing all kinds of new things. You're going to be faced with many challenges as well as many temptations. And you got to trust in that relationship that you have with the Lord to get you through those things. That has got to be your anchor in the storm. It's got to be your foundation you stand on. And so, man, I'm telling you, spend time with the author of this book. Spend time reading this book. Spend time with the author in prayer. Spend time with him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will direct your path. You do those things. You have to burn the ships. You have to engage, not retreat. There's no time for retreat. You have to engage. You're stepping into a new frontier. You're boldly going where many have never gone before, but you're going. And you have to burn the ships. Church family. And by the way, change is inevitable, isn't it? Even if you don't like change, and as the older you get, you don't like it even more. The fact is, we have to change. Scripture says in Romans that we are being daily conformed to the image of God. If you're a believer, that means you got to change every day. Because I'm not looking like God yet, okay? I'm being daily conformed to the image of Christ. So we have to change. And so change is inevitable. Sometimes some change we initiate, but some change we just kind of are part of because it happens, right? If you're part of this church family, there's change coming, by the way. All right? Our pastor is headed on the mission field, and his wife heading on the mission field, okay, to Haiti. And we are excited for the call God has on their lives. But that means a new pastor. That means new things are going to be happening in the church here. Where what has taken us to where we're at, church family, we got to burn the ships. Not forgetting those things, not being thankful for those things, but we're heading in a new direction. There's change coming. And we got to be willing to say, we're following the Lord, and we're going this direction. And then, you know, whenever somebody comes in new, there's going to be some that are going to go, I don't like him. He doesn't look like Harlan, you know? I mean, when I came in 4.5 years ago, it was like, you're not Kyle. And I'm like, no, I'm a terrible Kyle. I can't be that person. I always tell our students, be you, because everybody else is taken, all right? But that's where we're heading in. There's change coming, people. And are we going to engage, or are we going to retreat? And that is the big question, isn't it? Are we going to engage and embrace those opportunities, those privileges? Or are we going to retreat to what's safe and comfortable? What is easy for us? I'm always going to encourage you. I'm not the kind to, I don't want us retreating. I want us to embrace those things. We have such a great privilege to embrace those opportunities. This community is a land that needs to be conquered, right? And as this community needs Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, not pitiful. It's plentiful. And I believe God's raising up more workers because I've been praying. Because it says, the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he raise up workers, right? And I keep praying for more workers. You know what happens when you pray for more workers? You become one of them. So be careful how you pray. But pray it. And just, because courage is not lack of fear, by the way. Courage is stepping forward when you are afraid. That's what courage is. And that's what we're asking to do when we not retreat, but when we engage, is that we're courageous enough to step forward even though we don't know it all is coming. Even though we've prepared many ways, there's things that we won't be prepared for. So that's my message this morning to you. The new frontier, faith or fear, how are we going to enter it? Because it's coming. Change is coming, gang. And man, I'm fearfully excited. Is that a good way to put it? Okay? I am. Because I know when you step out on faith, God does great and mighty things. When you're doing it on your own strength, it gets kind of boring. But when you step out on faith, God does great and mighty things. You might get an ulcer, but he does great and mighty things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be able to trust you in times when we don't know what to expect exactly. And God, I pray for each of these students as they step out into that unknown, into this new adventure that you would help them to make sure that you're with them, that you are with them, but that they would know your presence, as we sang about, and that they would walk by faith. And then God, as a church family, I just pray that we'd do the same, that we would not retreat, but we would engage. Father, that we would burn the ships, we wouldn't look back, but that we would look, keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.